Amen. Thank you. Welcome to Grace Point. We're glad you're here this morning. Thank you for worshiping with us. Let me just encourage you, if you have your Bibles, to go ahead and get a head start. Psalm chapter 119, and we're going to look at verses 22 through verse 24 today. Psalm 119, verses 22 through 24 in just a few minutes. I want to just remind you, as we kind of walk through verse by verse through Psalm 119 and the importance of God's Word. We talked last week about being a servant of God, first and foremost, and that as the psalmist was writing, that is we're called not to serve ourselves, but first to serve God. And we talked about that last week. I want to talk about that in just a minute also, but I want you to know my conviction and my belief is, based on God's Word, is that a life that even is self-sacrificing, the willingness to sacrifice, self-sacrificing, to give up my desires, a life that is self-sacrificing and willing to give up my desires for the desires and will of God is far greater than anything else the world can offer, right? And so when we talk about, you know, denying yourself, and the Bible talks a lot about that, and I talk about that, it speaks about that in Psalm 119 and being a servant of God and giving up our rights, in order to serve God. But let's not forget that doesn't mean that it's going to lead us to a life of misery. You know, God has a plan for your life, and His plan is not to make you miserable. It's not a bad plan. And so many times, because of the influence of the world and our culture, and I think Satan, we begin to think that, you know, if we surrender everything to God, we're going to miss out on something. We start to believe that and think that. And that starts to shape us then, what we value and how we spend our money and our time. And so God's plan is good. He wants you to enjoy life. He knows that His way, and He wants us to embrace that His way is far greater than any way of the world. And so when we look at Psalm 119 and we talk about being a servant of God, which we talked about last week and also a little bit this week, I just want to remind you of that, because sometimes you can hear, you know, the scriptures and talk about denying yourself and you know, losing your life, though. Jesus said, lose your life and then you'll find it. But it leads us to a greater depth and a greater joy that the world cannot offer. Now, before we start into Psalm 119, I want to encourage you to really consider praying four things this week, okay? Four things based on Psalm 119. Now, this kind of takes it to a more serious level, a deeper level, when you start to pray the Word of God for your life, for your family, for your kids, for your husband, for your wife. That really takes it to another level. So I want to give you, before we start in Psalm 119, 22, I want to give you four things that we got a new microphone. Did you notice? And so we're kind of working at the kinks. If it keeps doing that, I'll switch. Ooh, that one's okay. I don't even know if this one looks broken, Todd, but hey, we'll switch to this one, I think, if this one stops working. Four things that I want to encourage you to pray, okay? Here's the first one. Number one, we should be praying that God would teach us, that God would teach us His Word. Psalm 119, verse 12, teach me your statutes. So that's the first thing, all right? The first one is we're praying, Lord, would you teach us your Word? We talked about that last week, which leads me to the second one, that God would then help us understand His Word. So it's the importance of the Word of God in our life. Last week, Psalm 119, verse 18, remember, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things. So it's an understanding that God helps us to understand the depth of His Word, and He teaches us His Word. So you're praying these things. Number one, God, teach me your Word. Number two, help me to understand your Word. Number three, God, would you give us life to keep your Word? We're praying, give me life, give me strength, give me what I need to keep your Word, to be faithful to your Word. Psalm 119, verse 88. Revive me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. So it's you're praying for the faithfulness, to faithfully keep the word of God. And then number four, that God would establish our steps in his word, that we would walk right, that we would walk well. Psalm 119, verse 133, establish my footsteps in your word. This leads us. I think it leads us to greater life. I think it leads us to greater fulfillment in marriage. I think it leads us to greater fulfillment in family and even the job God's given us and called us to do. When we are praying this and when we are walking according, establish my footsteps in your word, when we're walking according to God's word, it just brings a greater depth of life and meaning and joy when we walk according to God's word instead of the way the world says and what the world calls us to do. So if you take it seriously and say, I'm going to pray these things, I'm going to pray that God would teach me his word, I'm going to pray he would help me to understand his word, I'm praying he would give us life and faithfulness to keep his word, and I'm praying he would establish our steps in his word. This is praying the word of God. There's great power in praying the word and the promises of God. Last week we talked about the importance of recognizing that we are his servants, right? That we understand we're not self-serving. We have to move out of that. It doesn't revolve around us, right? That our life centers around God. One writer says this, the purpose of the cross is to completely decimate your loyalty to the most seductive, powerful of all idols, the idol of self. So as this psalmist says, he says, we are servants of God. So that's our context, that's our framework, that's what we want to be reminded of in this life, that we're first and foremost serving God. And now let's go to verse 22. That takes us up to verse 22. We're just walking verse by verse, and now he's going to talk about those that are coming against him and how we should respond to people that are coming against us. As believers, that's always going to happen. Verse 22, take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Verse 23, even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight, and they are my counselors. So we'll just take three verses. So first, the first takeaway is this, based on verse 22. As a Christ follower, there will be times we are criticized and slandered as Christ followers because we are keeping the testimonies of God. And as you decide to walk in the way of God and the word of God and the test of the statutes of God into Christ's likeness, that separates you from the world even greater. And that's going to be noticeable. And some people are going to criticize you. And some people are going to slander you. Take away from me, verse 22, scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. So there will be times as we walk in obedience to the scriptures and as we live out our Christian life, people are going to criticize you. People are going to slander you. People are going to talk about you. People are going to leave you out. People are going to maybe try to embarrass you or make you feel a certain way. That's going to happen. The psalmist says that's going to happen. No question. So it's good to recognize that, not be caught off guard. I'm not saying that makes it feel any better, but to recognize that's part of us walking well and walking right in this culture that continues to separate even more and more from the ways of God. In his 1983 acceptance speech for the Templeton Prize for Progress in Religion, Alexander Schmitz recalled the words he heard as a child when his elders sought to explain the upheavals in Russia. He heard these words, men have forgotten God. And that's why all this has happened. And he added, if I were called upon to identify briefly the principal trait of the entire 20th century, here too, I would be unable to find anything more precise than to repeat once again, men have forgotten God. And perhaps we could say that about our culture. That is why we are where we are today. That men have forgotten God. So as we continue to embrace God and to walk according to his statutes and his laws, That separates us from the culture. That means as Christ followers, there'll be times when we're criticized and we're slandered because of our faith. Now, what should we do in response to that? Next verse, he shows us, verse 23. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant, there's that important part again, your servant will meditate on your statue. So takeaway number two is this. I must faithfully meditate and focus on God and his word, not the problem or the people. So here what's happened is the psalmist says, these people are plotting against me. And I think he's talking about people in position of authority, but it could be anybody, right, that we deal with. And it might be in your situation, people who are in a place of authority over you, they're plotting against you, right? They're coming against you. They're speaking against you, like we just talked about. They're slandering you. And we see the response. What is the response? To focus on them or to focus on the issue or to focus on God? We see his answer. Instead of focusing on the princes that are plotting against him, he says, I will choose to meditate on your statues. So where are you focusing? Where is your mind? Because wherever your mind is, that's greatly influencing your heart. Wherever your mind is, that's greatly influencing your perspective and how you see things. Where your mind is going to impact how you respond and your behavior. Where is your focus? So let me give you four questions to help you discern that, because I think we can all fall into times where we're not realizing that we're being influenced by so many things, and maybe they're not good things. They may not be morally bad, right? But they may just be not the best things for us. Let me give you four questions to help you evaluate. Maybe things that are influencing you, things that are impacting your focus, things that you might be meditating on that you don't even realize. Here's the first one. The first one is the question of what are you listening to? And I'm thinking about in terms of music. You know, what is it that you're listening to? Because that's having an impact on you, whether you realize it or not. Words to lyrics, lyrics to songs, and words to songs settle into your hearts and your minds and the ideas behind those songs. So it's good for us to know, you know, what are we listening to? What are we allowing into our minds? You've probably had it. It's happened to me. I bet it's happened to you before, where you've heard a song early in the morning and you begin to sing it later in the day and you don't even realize that you're singing it until somebody says something. I like that song. What song? That song you were just humming. That song you were just singing. That song you were just... Those things, they get into our mind and they begin to influence whether we realize it or not. So it's good for us to just to evaluate. That's all I'm asking to do, is to evaluate. I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to music. I'm not saying that at all. You can choose the songs you want to listen to. There are certainly some that are not good. We know that for sure. But maybe, you know, there are certain ones that we are allowing into our minds, and maybe they are influencing us more than we realize. Maybe that's causing us to meditate or to focus on things that we really shouldn't be focusing on. We really shouldn't be meditating on. What are you listening to? Second thing is, what are you watching? What are you watching? Again, it may not even be bad shows or bad movies. That may just not be the best choices. I used to watch all the time 48 Hours mystery stuff. 2020 Who Did It, that kind of stuff, man. I love watching that stuff. It's horrible stuff, but I love watching the stuff, right? And I always like to try to figure out, you know, who did it. And usually, even if half hour's gone by and I haven't figured it out, I Google it and find out before the end. So at least I know. I don't want to wait for the verdict. It's too long. So guilty or innocent. But so I would watch those things, you know, and I would just, and part of the times I'm watching them, I'm thinking, good gosh, I can't believe this, you know. And I would think in my mind, oh man, this is just a story. It's a movie. Then I'd come back to, no, this actually happened. And it really is some bad, dark stuff. So I would watch that. Again, I'm not saying it's a bad show and you shouldn't watch 48 Hours Mystery. So, but what I was doing, I was watching a lot of that. And then there's some on 2020 and there's some on cable stuff. And I was just like, if I wasn't a pastor, man, I'd be right in there. I'd be figuring this stuff out all day. But then I realized, it really started to influence the way I started to see things. Man, all of you are suspects in something. You come back there and shake my hand and I'm thinking, yeah, they could have done something. Yeah, look at that guy, right? You know what I mean? I mean, like, and I'm always like, you know, I'm getting out of the car. I'm like, okay, yeah. Hey, right? So, you know, but my point is I thought, I need to stop. And so I did. I don't watch it anymore. Just, that's me. I'm not saying that you should watch it. It may not affect you that way. My point is that I was starting to think about that stuff all the time, and it really skewed the way I would see things, right? And I would focus on those things. And so I have to be careful. And so I'm just saying that to say what you're watching, that's influencing you more than you realize. So just evaluate that. Does that mean there's stuff you need to stop watching? I'm not saying that. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But I want just to remind you that when we're talking about things that are influencing us, obviously we're going to get to meditate on the Word of God. But I'm saying there are other things that compete with that, right? And so we need to be careful about these things. What are you listening to? What are you watching? Who are you talking to? That's a big one too. Who is it that you're talking to? So the people around you that you're talking to, they are influencing you. They are having an influence on you. They are having an influence on the way you see things. So, you know, just practically speaking, as a believer in Christ, if you're a believer in Christ, obviously you do not want to talk to an unbeliever at the office about your marriage. Do you understand that? Because they're going to give you totally different perspective on that. They're going to put into your mind things that they're not of God. You know why? Because they don't know God, right? They're coming from their perspective. They're coming from the world, right? And the world's perspective. And so you have to be careful and be wise about who you are talking to, who you're getting counsel from, because that's going to impact your focus. And so what you want around you is people who are going to point you to a Christian perspective, who are going to point you to the Scriptures, who are going to point you to God, and point you to see it from God's point of view and from what the Scriptures say. That's what you want. That they're going to help you get back to where you can see clearly. When you may be at a point where you're not seeing well. That happens to all of us. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're worn out. Maybe you're hopeless. And you're not seeing well. And so you want somebody who can come in and help you see better. Someone from that biblical, from that Christian perspective that's greatly influencing you. So who you're talking to. And then the last one would be, what are you reading? What are you reading? Because that's influencing you, okay? Which leads us to what he says here in verse 23. Your servant will meditate on your statue. So in the context of here, even though princes sit plotting against me, so as people are coming against you, so people, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's in a relationship or a friendship that's gone bad or something, and people are plotting against you or speaking against you, what is our response? And you see in verse 23, the psalmist, he's not retaliating in any way. His response is to meditate on the Word of God. I will choose to focus not on those that are criticizing me, not on the princes who are plotting against me, but instead I'm going to meditate on your Word. Now, so here's what that means. He tells me what I must do. I must meditate on God's Word. Here's what we should not do, okay? When people are coming against you, when people are speaking bad about you, when people are criticizing you, here's what we will not do. I will not dwell on it any longer. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to rehearse it in my mind over and over again. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe what the... Number three, I'm going to not think about how to get revenge. I'm choosing not to do that. I'm not going to talk bad about them. Even if I have stuff against them, I'm not going to talk bad about them. Number five, I'm not going to try to understand why they don't like me. Why would they say that? Why would they do? I'm not going to spend my time doing that. And number six, most of all, I'm no longer going to let it control me. What they think about me, what they say about me, what they criticize, what I think they're saying about me, what I think they're doing to talk negative about me, I'm no longer going to focus on that. And I'm not going to let it control me anymore. Now, here's the key to making, because that all sounds good, doesn't it? But what happens is when people, even us as believers, as people come against us and criticize us, right? Our flesh, our natural man runs to these things I just said we shouldn't be doing. Yeah, we want to get revenge. And we dwell on it. We think about it. We get sick to our stomach. We can't sleep. We have no peace. Now, the only way we're not going to do these things is if we, verse 23, do what he tells us. Your servant will meditate on your statutes. So I want you to see the list I gave you of the things we don't do, we're not focusing on that, right? Because if you focus on that, we talk about this, you move towards what you focus on. So if I'm focusing on all the things I'm not going to do, then I'm going to be struggling with doing those things. So instead of that, what am I doing? I'm choosing to focus and move towards meditating on your statutes, all right? So what that means is, let me just say, real practical, because that's why I like to give takeaways. That's what we talk about. You know, what's the practical play in this? And that is this. So if you right now, maybe you have a situation at school, at home, at work, or whatever, where people are coming against you, people are talking about you, and you maybe you've blown it up, maybe. Practically speaking, is you then take the statutes, the Word of God, and you're either taking your Bible and you're reading through specific ones, or you're writing it down on a piece of paper. I've done that many times on note cards, piece of paper. You write it down there, and you're keeping that thing with you. And you're keeping that thing in your back pocket. And when that comes to your mind, and that person comes to your mind, or those people who are talking about you, you're pulling that out, okay, before you start it. Because once you start down that road, we can go down that road really fast. And it can get a whole lot worse than maybe it really ever is. And so I'm putting the brakes on. I'm pulling out my sheet with my scripture passages on there. I found some scriptures, right? The truth about who I am in Christ. Or I'm not going to worry about things or cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. These truths in the Bible, and I'm going to write them down there, and I'm going to read those things, and I'm going to focus on those. That's what meditating. I'm focusing my mind there, because if not, we're quickly going to go down this. Listen, I'm telling you, you'll be amazed at the victory you can find when you do this, at the peace you can find. I mean, come on, aren't you tired of letting other people control your mind and your heart and your peace? That just gets old really fast. You just want to be at that place where you're no longer worried about what they say about you. You're not worried about what they think about you. And the way you're going to get there, I'm telling you, is what the scriptures say right here. Choosing to meditate on God's word, on His statutes. Hey, give that a try if you haven't done it, would you? Would you? Man, make it practical. Write them down. Put it in your back pocket there. Pull that thing out. Put it on your desk. You know, put it in your car, wherever you need to begin to. That's the practical side of meditating on God's word and not allowing those who've come against you for whatever reason to negatively influence you. Takeaway number three kind of goes with that. Just real quick, remember to whom you report. I think that's important. So we need to stop worrying about the princes, as the psalmist writes about. Right, we are a servant of God. We get more concerned about what God says about us than what anybody else says about us. So we remember, we don't report to those people, right? Even people now practically speaking, don't go to the place of, we do have positions of authority and supervisors and things like that. So I'm not saying, you know, you have this attitude, I don't care what they think, and I don't have to do what they say. We have to submit to authority, but at the same time, in terms of those in an unhealthy situation who might be talking against you, speaking bad about you, then we don't want to let that control us, okay? Because we remember ultimately to whom we report. Let me give you the last one. Verse 24, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. So what he's saying is, the word of God is my delight. And the word of God is my counselor. That's how he sees the Bible, as something that is a delight, something that counsels him. How do you see the word of God? How do you see the Bible? Do you see it this way? Take one number four. I worded it this way. Let your children see the Bible this way, as a delight and as your counselor. Let your children see the Bible this way. Your testimony, God's word, they are my delight and they are my counselors. Now listen, in order for your children to see the Bible this way, obviously you have to see it this way first. To see the Bible as a delight, to see it as your counselor, not to see it as burdensome, not to see it as just a list of things I can't do. I think sometimes we can get there. We begin to see it as all these restrictions and all the things I have to do and all the things I can't do, as though it's stealing our joy. And I'm telling you, if that's the way we're seeing it, then we're seeing it in all the wrong way. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So the word of God leads us to that abundant life. It doesn't lead us to this place of duty, and it doesn't lead us to this place of burdens. If it has, then we're seeing it all wrong. So God wants you to see his word as a delight and as our counselor. Listen, how you see it, for those of you who had kids, especially, well, at any age, but especially the young ones, how you're seeing the Bible right now is how your kids are learning to see the Bible. If your kids are seeing you, that the Bible is a delight to you, that those stories are something you enjoy, and you enjoy reading the Bible, you enjoy coming to church, they're going to begin to see it that way. If they see you looking to the Bible as a counselor, as you're praying and seeking to, as you face difficult issues, and you say, let's pray about this as a family, or as you're counseling them, not preaching to them. There's a fine line. I always cross it, but maybe you won't. That you're counseling them, right? And you're coming alongside of them, and you're doing it in a loving way. So they're beginning to see the importance. They're starting to see that. If they see coming to church as just a pain in the neck and a hassle as they're growing up, you know what they're going to see it? When they're 20, 30, 40 years old, they're going to see it the exact same way. They're going to see coming to church as just something, well, we got to do. You know, we don't want pastor to get upset with us. If they see you like that, they're going to feel the same way, right? If it's just a burden. And listen, I know, trust me, I mean, there's days, right? There's weeks, and I get that. We all have those, right? Where it's, man, it's a hassle. It's hard. It's difficult, right? And there's many times when things happen and you miss. You know, I get that. That's okay. But what defines you? If you ask your children, that's always dangerous. But if you ask your children, how do you think, you know, as your mom and dad, or as your parents, how do you think we see church? How do you think we see the Bible? How important do you think we see God's word is in our family? You know? Where we want to get to, we all make mistakes, and I'm not saying we're perfect, but boy, we want to get to that place where they see that we see God's word as good, as a delight, as counselor for us, for our family. Because you know what? When they're grown and on their own, making their own choices, well, I don't know there's much greater joy that comes to a parent and seeing their adult children make their way, open their word, and teach their children the word of God. It starts with the way we see the Bible and the way we see. Let your testimonies be my delight. They are my counselors. Let me read this, and then we're going to finish and baptize here, worship through baptizing Gavin Jones here in just a minute. Let me read this. This is from one of the devotionals I like to read, Paul David Tripp. It's called New Morning Mercies. So if you wonder what it is, that's what it is. New Morning Mercies, Paul David Tripp. Okay, here's what he says. Since God writes your story, he knows what you're facing and exactly what grace you'll need to live this way. So he starts out with this. He says, admit it, your life hasn't worked out according to your plan. Last month didn't work out according to your plan. And today probably won't work out according to your plan. All of this is true because you aren't the author of your story. Since God is the author of every detail of your story, since he writes into your story every situation, every location and relationship, then he knows exactly what you're facing and precisely what grace you need to face it in the way he's planned. You could say it this way, his sovereign control is the guarantee that you'll have everything he has promised you. His sovereign control means he knows what you need because he's planned for you everything that you are now facing. Now, we don't have to like that or agree with it, but that truth can give us comfort. But more needs to be said. His sovereignty is your surety because he can guarantee the delivery of his promises only in the location where he rules. Because he rules over all things at all times, and since he wrote the story that includes it all, he can guarantee that you and I will have what he has promised us in the places and at the times they are needed. The Apostle Paul doesn't think of God as an out there and distant sovereign. He reminds us that because God is involved with every detail of our lives, he is near. He is so near that at any moment we can reach out and touch him. This means that every grace that you and I will ever need is near and available to us as well. So reach out today. The author is near, and he has grace in his hands. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. And would you stand with me as we pray? And as we prepare for baptism, Pastor Jeff is going to baptize Gavin here in just a few minutes. But with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's just pray together. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray especially for those who are here today, and maybe you are really up against it today. Maybe there's a mountain in front of you. Maybe there's just a challenge. It may be a physical challenge. It may be a spiritual struggle, or a financial, or a relational, or marriage, or children, or it might be overwhelming fear or depression or anxiety, whatever it may be, right? Whatever you're up against right now today, God has you here for a purpose today. It's no accident. And I believe he wants you to know, and he wants you to hear, that he is writing your story. And sometimes we don't understand it all, but he hasn't made a mistake. And whatever he has you facing right now, the grace that he has for you is more than sufficient. But he wants us, I believe, he wants us to believe that and to pray for that and to receive that and to no longer have to carry this stuff on our own shoulders. It's so tiring, isn't it? And it's such a burden and just wears us out. You know what? He doesn't want you worrying about this just 24/7, whatever it is, any longer. He really doesn't. He's writing your story. Think about his faithfulness in the past, how good he's been to you. Think about his grace. Think about the truth that his mercies are new every single day. And let those truths just settle into your heart. Some of you might be facing, like we talked about in the scriptures today, just people that have come against you. Maybe that's going on in your life right now. Maybe it's something at work, or just maybe it's a friendship that's gone bad, or family relationship, or whatever that may be, and you feel like people are just coming against you and they're speaking against you, and so you just need that word to say, you know what, from now on I'm letting that go, and I'm going to spend my time focusing on the truth of God's statute, the truth of God's word. I'm not going to waste my time with the other stuff any longer. I'm going to do exactly what God wants me to do, and I'm going to believe there's healing there for my heart, because I'm hurt. And there is. So maybe that's where you're at today. So Father, you know exactly what we need. You know exactly where we're at. Every single person in this room. So we're thankful for that. So we're praying today, God. I'm praying. But you just, I'm praying, God, just in a very powerful, just radical way, would you just meet each person where they're at, man, especially those in time of struggle. Renew hope, renew their faith and their belief, God, that indeed they can overcome. So I'm praying this in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let me just say, friend, if you're still here and you've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, maybe you've never made that decision. The Bible is clear. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you've never made that decision, maybe you say, yeah, I know about God and I believe in God, but maybe you've never made that decision to receive Christ, to pray and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you've never made that decision with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And I want to invite you. God's drawing you to him, and you've never made this decision to pray and invite Christ to be Lord and Savior. Just right where you're standing, just silently, it's between you and God. this prayer based on the scriptures, God is drawing you to Him and you want Christ as your Savior, I invite you to pray this prayer just silently. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I've made mistakes. I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need forgiveness. And today, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you, Jesus, died on a cross for my sins. And I believe you rose again, proving you are God. So I ask you to forgive me of my sins today. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. From this day forward, I choose to follow you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In your name I pray. Amen. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just continuing to worship. If you prayed that prayer, my friend, you can know for sure, based on the authority of God's word, not what I say, but what the Bible said, that Christ lives in you. You will spend eternity in heaven one day. And then this side of heaven, God wants you to walk out your faith, to live out your faith. And at Grace Point, we want to come alongside of you and help you do that and just pray for you and love you and care for you and teach you. We would love to hear from you if you made that decision. I'll be at the front. Others will be here, staff and elders, to receive you and just to pray with you if you made that decision. We'd love just to pray for you. Then you just slip back to your seat. Maybe there are other things you want to pray at the altar. We want you to have the freedom for that and to come and not to hesitate if you want to come and pray. We'll pray with you. Or right where you're standing, too. You can just pray right where you're at. But however the Lord leads you, let's just continue to worship Him this morning.